Our God is with you.
And also with you.
This is a story taken from the Gospel of Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said to them, "All these things you see here, the day will come when they will not be left a stone upon a stone, and they will all be torn down." And then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will be when these things begin to happen?" And he answered, "See that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come,' but do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrection, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not happen immediately, be the end." And then he said to them more. He said, "Nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdom, and there will be powerful earthquakes and famines and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize you and persecute you, and they will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and there you will be led before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. Remember, you're not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I shall give you the wisdom to speak that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or to refute. You will even be handed over by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be touched or destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some interesting readings, eh? I got this as a birthday gift, and from last week, and I was gonna put it on my car this morning, but I'm rushing in because I had to go out and get some coffee and to do some things, and I forgot about it. But this is it. The price of apathy is to be ruled by evil men. That's the Gospel of Plato. So, this gospel passage in the first reading, by the way, it's interesting, because I'm going to close with this. It's interesting how sometimes things happen by way of the Spirit. You don't even know what's going on. But the first reading, it had a special meaning for Catherine. And I don't know if you saw the smile on her face when she was reading the last line. The Spirit works in ways that we need to listen to that are there. Our gospel passage this morning, at first glance, Jesus is now coming to the end of his road. He's in Jerusalem, where a few days he's going to meet his destiny. Now, his critics had dogged him from the very beginning, going back some 20 chapters in Luke that talk about, you know, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him, and he walked right through them, and they failed. But now, what's happening is his opponents are having their way. They've gotten that. Have you ever gotten that feeling where your opponents have their way and there's nothing you can do about it? Well, I can imagine all that has been said by Jesus about his end of his journey and his talk about being put to death. That must have scared the apostles incredibly. Worried about their own lives. Now, Luke isn't writing just to the apostles. You know, he wrote that gospel some 40 to 60 years later. So it was a time that he was writing to the people of his day. When I hear the whole gospel, he well could be writing to you and me. And he's setting that to us. Think, being Christian today at times is questionable because of its many forms. And may well ask ourselves, what kind of a Christian am I? Is it worth even keeping the name of Christian? I've heard many people say, I can't even say the word Christian anymore. Because I'm not sure that in many of the Christians that it's connected with what Jesus said. You take a look at the Christian nationalist. And what they say really isn't connected with what Jesus did. Can I promote my name as a Christian then? I think we can. But getting back to Luke's story, Jesus didn't help much with his comments to his disciples. He doesn't say things, you know, that he tells about how things are going rough for them, but he speaks beyond just the personal thing. He talks about cosmic things that are happening, signs on the earth. Luke's Jesus talks about the whole creation feeling this way. The whole world is coming unglued. It's coming undone. Jesus honestly talks about heartbreak and loss that's coming. He warns not only to his followers, but to everyone who else who follows. The end of the world, as they know it, is going to be gone, and no returning to the good old days. For us to understand what Luke says, let's put it in context of that time. So it was around 70 to 90 AD that he's writing. So 40 to 60 years later from that. And then, at that time, there was an armed Jewish revolt against the Roman oppressors. You all know what the Romans did then. They came in and they burned Jerusalem. They virtually destroyed everything. They tore down the beloved temple where Jesus was to have spoken these words today. There's not much left now. More than 100,000 people died during that siege. Thousands more were being slaughtered when they breached the walls. Much of this destruction centered on the revolutionary quarters, which would have been the temple and the adjoining fortress. The fortress was dismantled. The temple that Herod the Great remodeled was now being destroyed. Think about that. With it went the major economic center and source of national pride for the people. With it went the daily sacrifices and solemn feasts, observances and performance that people, the personal rights. With it went what they thought was a visible sign of God's presence. With it went the first century hopes of redemption that the Messiah was going to come and defeat the Romans and restore Jerusalem to its former glory. The revolution was fueled by hopes now is ended in bitter disappointment. The loss of the temple was devastating for not only the Jews, but for the Christians too. Some of the Christians, they were tempted to believe that there were revolutionary leaders. Some of them thought Jesus was going to be that person. And there was others that claimed some of that. And so the Christians were also demoralized with that. God's anointed king was going to come and fulfill the prophecies of victory. Now that's all gone. Jerusalem laid to waste and the temple's gone. How can I be part of this anymore? Can you imagine that the people would be saying that? And this is the context that Jesus was saying. And Jesus promised that there would be also distress in families. You see that happening today? Political difficulties, oppression, wars, rumors of wars, challenging getting through the day. Now Jesus is saying, it may get worse. Look at this. And what do you think the apostles and the people of today say? What about us? We say we're going to follow you. And sometimes we say, we can't do anything. This whole thing's a wash. Why should I even believe? It does no good. Jesus assures his disciples through Luke's account and here is in that first century that despite the certainty of disaster and hatred, we will prevail. Now where's the logic in that? Luke's Jesus is saying God will be with us in tangible ways that we can encounter the opposition. We need to stay open, and we need to stay listen, and be aware, and not give in to fatigue and hopelessness. When we follow Jesus in his own passion, through his suffering and trials, even physical destruction, know that faith in him, we will be okay, and it will secure us. As I reflect on a passion, Jesus is not just for us, but it's for all people of all ages, and on whose shoulders we stand. His words of truth are true today, 2,000 years later, even when things come and begin to be torn up. You will be hated. We've seen some of that. Just because of Jesus' name that we stand with it. Not a hair on your head will perish, but by endurance you will gain. So, why do I want to believe all this? When I don't see progress, I just see depression, corruption, discouragement. Well, Jesus himself, I think, is the reason to stay. He is saying, yes, of course. There will be all those problems. Some so big you'll want to quit and holler, what do I get out of it? I believe Christianity and belief in Jesus is still in its infancy. We're still trying to totally understand what it's about. And it's not yet come to fullness and maturation. Perhaps what we can do is listen to some of the prophets of our own day. What about listening to Howard Thurman and how he proclaims and talks about it? Barbara Brown Taylor and what she, as a prophet of today, talks about. Michael Morwood, the Australian theologian, who speaks of keeping hope and what we need to be pledged to that. Joan Chittister, Richard Rohr. And think about what Pope Leo's doing. He's reframing the Catholic Church. He's calling us to take a look at, look for the downtrodden, be with them. He's taking a prophetic stand, which is not what our American bishops have done. They've taken a pastoral and not a prophetic stand. Perhaps one of the greatest reasons, the most important reason to give up, is that it will betray the people on whose shoulders we stood. We continue to grow in understanding what this faith of ours means. The way my mom, which was a holy woman, the way she lived her faith is different than I do. But you know what? She lived it different than the person before her. And we come to new awarenesses in growing that, so that we can contribute to the enterprise of what it means to be human. Any spiritual God that God used to teach us to love yourself, isn't that what Jesus said? To love other people, to love creation, that love is transcended, and whether we call it God or doesn't matter. Look, Brian McLaren, he says, I still believe in Christianity and see it at the heart of the path of mysterious sacred web. It's beyond our understanding. So when we're facing challenges of the world, challenges of our country, of our community, as the church, even as individuals, Jesus is a pretty good reason to stay with the faith and believe the core beliefs of loving ourselves and loving others, even our enemies. Especially do it when, you know what, hits the fan. That's when it's most important. We can't deny that it's a struggle with that, and that we look at all those things and how difficult it is. But I'd like to offer you a reminder that with these challenges, God is working in us, creating with us, creating and still speaking through us. And it happens through you and me. And we need to be focused on that. The future may mean we might see future losses, disasters, and changes. Never mind. Those can't be foreseen. But God is still walking with us. And how hard it is to hear. You know, one of the requirements of resurrection is you got to die. We don't want to think about that. But one of the requirements is we do need to go through that. And that is part of it. But resurrection and the triumph is ours. Two weekends ago, I was at a retreat with Federation Christian Ministries, the Heartland Region. And we were talking some different pieces, and when I was out walking through, we were talking about different experiences of God through difficult times. And one woman, I'm not going to name her right now because Tom Cruise would know who she is. But she told a story of her experience of God. Her mother was a major alcoholic. She drank herself until she drank herself until she drank herself. She died when she was 55. She had her own problems with addiction because of her mother, in the example she gave her. And she went through a whole year of treatment and came out. And she came out and decided that she wanted to be a preacher. And so she wanted to be a chaplain to help other people. And she works with the addiction community. In that time, right before her mother died, her mother had a little baby. Now, you know what happens when a mother is drinking and drinking and drinking, what happens to the baby. She was born 28 weeks, so tiny, with alcohol fetal syndrome. She struggled in and out of the hospital for 3 years and going through tests in that. She had lingering problems even after that. And when she was 3 years old, she went into a collapse, and her mother had to do CPR for her to bring her back when they got her back. Prior to that, this lady adopted her little sister because her mother died, and she now calls her daughter. In that, she was angry at her mother for the devastation that she brought on this child, for the devastation she brought to her life, for the struggle that she had. But in that process of coming through her addiction, she came to the thing that, I just wish my mom could have peace and finally find her peace. Now, she's dead now. When a child was 8 years old, she would prepare her homilies and preaching. And the kids would be on it, because she had a couple kids of her own, along with Alexandria. And Alexandria said, "Mommy, what are you preaching on?" She said, "I'm preaching on heaven." He says, "Oh, I remember what heaven's like. It was beautiful. Remember that morning I told you that, Mommy?" And Tess said, she thought in her head, "She never told me that. I would have remembered that if she told me that." And she says, remind me how it all went. And she said, because she had never told anybody, that she wanted her mother to have peace too, because that was something personal. She says, "Oh, Mommy, it was so beautiful. Everything was wonderful there. And God told me to tell you that Grandma Sue was in total peace now." She never knew that. God is working through us. We need to stay focused on listening to God in all the different ways that God can speak to us. And how does He do that? He speaks to us through each other. He speaks to us through a community like this. He speaks to us when we stand up against evil men, against problems that are out there. We see, and I thank Mary Jo for bringing that about, the six Jesuit martyrs. We stand on their shoulders because for God's righteousness. On the trans people who have died, we stand on their shoulders. We stand on all these. And guess what? There's other people going to be standing on our shoulders when we move on for our resurrection. And we will move on with that. So today, yeah, it is difficult to see all the problems that are going on in our world, how different things are being taken advantage of, how we're walking away from the poor, how we're walking away. But we make a difference. And we're still in Christianity in its childhood. And we need to continue to allow it to mature. We need to stand on the shoulders of those prophets of our day, and know that you are all called to be prophets of our day as well, and others will stand on your shoulders. I open up for your comments.